What's up, everybody? Week 7 on deck. Q, Nick, Nikki, Todd. So I don't know if y'all heard this. So Nick's family was laughing at me because I called him Nikki a couple of times, and he absolutely hates that. So
Yeah.
keep calling him Nikki. What's up, Todd?
What's going on, guys?
Todd, that's so
Q.
weird to say.
I
Todd,
know, Toddy.
Smitty. Toddy, Smitty. Let's
Like
go.
it. All right. Well, we've got a loaded slate this weekend and next. So let's get right into it with the Friday night matchup. Number 16, Utah taking on Arizona State. Utah's won 4 of the last 5, including 4 straight, and they haven't really even been close. Does Arizona State Kenny Dillingham buck this trend tonight, or does Utah and the impressive and probable return of the Cam Rising. Maybe he'll make it through a quarter. I don't know. We'll see. I don't even think it matters anymore. I really want to bet Arizona State in this spot. I just can't get there. Q.
It's confirmed that Rising is starting, correct?
Yeah, Brett McMurphy put it out yesterday.
Okay, I wasn't sure of the source, which is why I asked. So yeah, it's probably solid.
But what does that really mean?
Well, so it's funny, Parker, the guy who does a lot of our numbers, awesome work. He literally said, "How much is Cam Rising worth in the scale of points?" And I said, "Well, what can he guarantee you for how many minutes he'll actually play?" And I say it jokingly, but I say it seriously too, because maybe you only get to halftime. Those fingers get re-aggravated off a hit or something like that, or who knows, he tears something just walking to get a sip of Gatorade. It could happen at this point, and none of us would be shocked. Arizona State is a dog once again, and dogs are barking on Fridays. Smitty's been all over it the past several weeks. I think heading into last week, they were like 10-2. I think one or two of the dogs covered Friday again last week, so the numbers still were showing. What are they, 5.5, I think, right now is what the consensus is for the line. I mean, I love them in a teaser spot. I actually got Arizona State up to 13.5. I love that. I wanted the hook, but the number kind of went against them. I can't necessarily say Cam Rising plays the whole game. And with dogs barking, and Arizona State is 4-1 since God knows when, they have momentum, they have confidence. I think they're going to play better than maybe they actually are because of that confidence factor. Friday night, they've been in this spot several weeks now. They're essentially a Friday night football team. They don't play on weekends anymore. And so they're used to it. And that day off can really mess with some teams. So I like Arizona State here as much to say I think they could actually win the game outright.
Yeah, I've mentioned this multiple times. I'm staying away until Cam Rising actually shows me that it like takes the first snap of the game. Like, let me actually see it, and like let me see it with my own eyes. Like, they've been saying the same thing for the past year and a half. He was expected. How many games did, like, even towards the end of last season, they're like, "Oh, he's confirmed he's playing," and they just never played. So until I see it, I'm not touching this game. Cam Rising, though, is like, this is what, seventh year of football. Great quarterback. He has control of that offense. He's been around the system. So I think he is, if he's healthy, and that's the whole thing with this. If he is healthy, and if he stays healthy, he is a good, probably 6 or 7 points better as a quarterback. So that's kind of where the lean is here. Arizona State just relies so much on Scadabo and that rush offense. Utah's rush defense is great. So that's kind of where I think the difference can be made. If Cam Rising is healthy and plays, I'm on the side of Utah. But like I said, I'm staying away from this one until I see what they look like with Cam Rising and that he shows that he's actually playing.
Yeah,
Toddy.
I'm kind of with the guys there. I want to see what if he does play. It sounds like he's going to, but I mean, it's like a soap opera with this guy. So a lot of people I heard on some shows, they kind of like the over tonight in this game. So, but again, I agree with Nick there. They like running the ball. Like Utah's defense is pretty good, but a lot of people are on the over on this one. So, this is a 10:30. When are we going golfing, man? Whenever, man. Whenever. Let me know. Let me know. I haven't been out for a long time. Let's go. So I don't know. Late night, you're bored. Watch it. Throw a bet on it. Right now, I like Arizona State. We were on them last week. I think myself and Q. But I'm kind of with Nick. I want to see what kind of Utah team now if he comes back and if he can last the entire game. So it's probably a pass for me tonight.
All right, let's get to the Red River rivalry. I said I wasn't going to mess that up. I'll do it every single time. Get tongue-tied. The first time these two teams will meet with the SEC logo on their chest and the field, which I saw. Oklahoma's won four of the last five. The one that they lost, though, boy, did they lose. 49-0 back in 22. Quinn Ewers is back. Texas is back in that number one spot after Alabama gets upset by Vandy. What do you make of this game? I really wanted to lay it with Texas right when I saw the number, but the longer the week has gone on, the more I think Oklahoma may play them closely, because I think at this point, Brent Venables is looking like, well, this may be our last chance to get it a big win, an impressive win, but it may be too little too late. And that's sad to say for a 4-1 team. What are you thinking here, Q?
I kind of like a first quarter under 10.5. This game always starts. It's tight. I say it starts. It's a tight game. Quinn Ewers is, without a doubt, you don't play in two or three weeks, you're going to be rusty. Right now, I think DraftKings says under 10.5. I wouldn't mind putting something on that. And then I would even go as far as I'm looking at the first half. It's 25.5. I could see this being like a 20. I'd probably just do first quarter under. But I think this game is actually closer, 7-10 point win. Historically, outside of the Spencer Rattler blow up, 49-0 loss. With a rusty Quinn, a rivalry spot, I think Oklahoma plays well enough. They lose the game, but they cover the spread.
Nick?
Yeah, I laid it with Texas here. It's one of my best plays of the weekend. Total opposite.
Confident. I love it.
I agree on the under part. I think this will be lower scoring. I haven't played it, though, because just past history of this game scares me away from it. Like, it was called Red River Shootout for a reason. Like, for some, even when their offenses haven't been great, this game still ends up like 50-45 or just something crazy. So that part has scared me away a bit, but I do think this will be lower scoring than normal. And I just don't trust Oklahoma's offense. It's kind of what it comes to. So even if Quinn Ewers is rusty for the first quarter or first half, like you said, I still think he ends up picking it up enough. And how many points can Oklahoma realistically get? Like, at the most, what, 13, 17? This is a team who is somehow in like the Power Four conferences, they are dead last in explosive play rate. Like, that's hard. And that's over some awful teams like Purdue. Oklahoma just doesn't have it right now. This is also still starting the freshman quarterback, his second start of the season. Didn't look great last week. They still don't have their top five wide receivers. None of them are playing. I just don't see how Oklahoma scores enough to keep this within 14, even if it's lower scoring. So even like if it's something like 28-13, still get the win here. So I loved it with Texas at 14 points.
Yeah, I usually bet this one, but I just don't know where to go in this. I really don't. 7-3 in the last 10, Oklahoma in the series. You know, Matt mentioned the one that was really bad, I think in 2022, 49-0. I just don't know. You could play the rusty quarterback coming back from injury, but like Nick just said, how long does that last? Oklahoma sometimes just can't score enough points. I do like this Hawkins kid though, but right now, I mean, I'm going to sound like the same as the first game. Right now, it's a pass. I don't have a good lean on this game.
So we were just on with Chris from SEC Unfiltered. He posed a pretty good question. Now I want to ask you guys. So say it's halftime. Say it's 17-14 Oklahoma. Quinn Ewers has thrown an interception, less than 50% completion percentage. Can't really move the ball. Do we see Arch Manning in the second half?
No.
Ain't Quinn's the guy?
I think 1,000%. I think Quinn's proved it, and it's his job. Like, it's his job. Like, people are already so quick to, like, are they forgetting the road win against Bama last year? Road win, I know Michigan win doesn't look as good. He took him to the playoff last year. He's undefeated this year. He was, second, I think, in the Heisman voting the Heisman percentage when he got hurt. No, he's still the man for the job, has the most experience. Like, I get Arch is up and coming and has played good, but look who Arch has played as well. Like, a bunch of nobodies, really. Mississippi State and, like, Louisiana Monroe. So, no, I think this is Quinn's job, to whether they win or lose.
I agree. All right, Cal versus Pitt. Can they get off the mat? California, just a brutal loss, collapsing against Miami last weekend. Just, you can't even skirt. Like, everything was set up for them to win that game. Miami may be the luckiest team in college football this year. And then the loss before that to Florida State, 14-9. That you probably wish you had that one. Is Cal done here, or are you going to bet against the 5-0 against the spread Pitt team that kind of needs that big marquee win? And it may not be a feather in your cap to beat Cal, especially having them travel across the country. But are you laying this with Pitt here, or are you thinking Cal bounces back?
The more I look into it, the more we've kind of conversed via group texts and behind the scenes. I like buying the half point down on Pitt, catching a -3, worst case you push. I think Pitt wins 3-7 point game. Cal's defense is a little stingy, but Pitt's offense is rolling. I can't remember the last time Pitt had a great offense, probably Larry Fitzgerald years. I think Pitt wins at home. Again, the brutal loss for Cal, and then having to travel all the way across the East Coast, that's got to be tough. Now you've lost two games against a 5-0 confident ranked team. Pitt's never ranked, so the all-time high vibes there. I don't like the 3.5, so I'm going to buy it to -3.
Nick?
Yeah, this is a lean to mine. I'm on the same side with Pitt. This is just, like you mentioned, this is such a tough spot for Cal. Coming off that loss hurt. Like, game day was there. Everybody was all hyped up, and, that's how you lose.
You're up 21 late.
Yeah, it was, bad. 31-10 late, and then – they're obviously upset. Obviously, calls didn't go their way, but, a lot of it they did themselves. So, it was, just painful. This is also their third time flying across country. They've already played at Auburn. They played at Florida State, and now they're flying all the way to Pitt. Eventually, that kind of takes a toll on you, I believe, a little bit, especially after a loss like that. So, yeah, I think everything kind of leans Pitt here. I do hate that it's 3.5. I'm going to see if we get a little bit buyback, because I don't think it moves in Pitt's direction, really, by game time. So I think this is one we can kind of wait on, see what it looks like in the morning. And if it's still 3.5, like you said, maybe buy it to 3, but I wouldn't probably take it over -120 or anything.
We'll get there, Spinny. Todd.
Yeah. You know, like you guys said, it across country off a really tough defeat. When I woke up Sunday morning, I was shocked they blew that game. Could not believe they blew that game. But a little chat I'm in, one of my buddies, somebody on social put this out. Narduzzi, home favorite, 4 points or less. He's 9-0 straight up, 7-0-2 ATS. So I jumped on this last night. I'm laying a little bit more juice, but I'm taking the money line. Give me Pitt. I think I got him at -155.
Play that all day.
All right. Another team traveling across the country, Penn State. James Franklin complaining about the runway length, so they have to bus to another airport to fly out. Anyways, I feel like he's already laying the groundwork for an excuse here. 5-0 Penn State taking on Southern Cal, who really just to fall from grace after that big upset win over LSU to start the season. I really like USC in this spot. I would like it to get up to a touchdown, especially looking at Parker's numbers of Penn State being -6. But again, I think James Franklin, he's due to lose a game. And what better game to lose than the one that you've already prefaced an excuse for, the travel delays, whatever. Give me USC here with Miller Moss in a bounce back spot.
I wonder if James Franklin texted Lane and asked him how long that tarmac is that he was left on. Because I think if he didn't, then he should just get a tape measure or a walking stick and measure it out, because I think he should be left on that same tarmac and have plenty of time to figure it out. Cross-country travel. Penn State, man, Aller looks better than what they've had, and Clifford and some guys in past. But still, it's just something is off. Illinois is a decent team. Bielema's playing, probably one of his best career seasons so far as a head coach with Luke Altmyer. But Penn State should have blown Illinois out. They didn't. Penn State seems like they start a little slow in games. They should have lost to Bowling Green. Bowling Green kind of collapsed late. This is where Southern Cal – I'm not that high on Lincoln Riley either, but it's kind of a low-key tough place to play. It's all the way across you know, town. They do have a somewhat loyal fan base, even through their trials and tribulations. Southern Cal, better quarterback, in my opinion, Miller Moss. Lincoln Riley, I think, is slightly better than Lane Kiffin or James Franklin. I think USC gets it done. Close loss. Confident they can win outright.
I love this question. Thanks for tuning in, Drew. Can NIL funds get refunded for poor performance?
This should be.
Why not?
Buddies. Yeah.
Why not?
There should be a performance clause in there. It's like that scene from Mr. Deeds where the quarterback demands more money. He said, well, can we pay you less if you play bad? Shit, no. Well, you should be able to in the wild west of NIL. Nick, what are you doing here in this Penn State USC game?
Yeah, so I have this play on Penn State as one of my top three. We'll see. You'll see how I played it a little bit later. My kind of handicap here is we've seen USC lose twice, and I get those were on the road. But you look at who they lost to were teams who had good offensive and defensive lines, and that's Penn State. That's what they're known for. Penn State's defensive line not quite as good as Michigan's. I'll say that, but it definitely is better than Minnesota's. Their offensive line is probably the best of those three. So I don't see how Southern Cal, with so many injuries on their defensive line, really gets pressure, how they're able to stop the run enough. Penn State's been better at explosive plays this year with the new OC. So I could see this being close. So I don't hate the +5, and that's why you'll see how I played it. I didn't lay the 5 with Penn State, I did take them on the money line. So I do think Penn State comes out with a win here. I just think they're the flat-out better team. Miller Moss is also leading the country in quarterback hurries. Penn State's defensive ends, I think, will get to him enough to kind of cause some havoc, cause a couple turnovers. And I think Penn State gets the win on the road here, even though James Franklin will probably try his best not to.
I think this, you know, James Franklin sometimes doesn't win the big game. And I think it's a big game. I think it's a USC team that, you know, Riley really needs to get something going here. That, you know, the offense hasn't been great. Penn State, though, let's break them down. They had one road game so far. It was against West Virginia. I don't know how great West Virginia is. Now, I will say this. Their unis look smoking this week, man. I love their unis. So, and I kind of like maybe that spot for them this weekend, too. But back to Penn State. They've struggled with some games, too. I agree with Q. You know, Drew is throwing the ball down the field a little bit better. They're going to pound the ball. And that's what they're going to do. Singleton didn't play last week. He's back this week, supposedly. And if you saw, USC lost to Michigan. Michigan can run the ball. Minnesota ran the ball against them. So Penn State's going to run the ball. But I just think, too, out a bad performance for USC at home. I think they're going to be fired up. I think it's a close game. I'm not saying USC is going to win the game, but I think I like it, too. I mean, you'll see that in a little bit. The +5, and let's go Trojans.
All right, Florida, Tennessee. Tennessee coming off a loss to Arkansas. Hallelujah. Hogs did not hog, as Q just put it. Taking on a Florida team that just – I can't really make heads or tails of them. I think I've won when – or I've lost when I've bet on them. More importantly, the Miami game still sticks out because I think – what Cam Ward did, you could see Nico Iamaliava replicate that and have some success. Initially, I wanted to hammer Tennessee. And again, the longer – I should probably just bet on Sunday, Monday, and then just not look at the account. Just try to get the best number I can. But I like Tennessee here to bounce back. I feel like Florida's defense is not going to be able to slow down this offense now that they have – been tested. They kind of know what to expect, and I feel like Heupel is going to be able to build a game plan around Iamaliava to win and win big against Florida. Q?
Can you take that question real quick?
We were just talking to Nick backstage. I think this is like a 38-21 Tennessee win. Florida team totals 20.5. I like that. I actually may play that. I think Florida's offense is good enough to score 3 touchdowns. They traditionally score against each other. Even though Florida's owned the series in the past 20, 25 years, I think this is Tennessee's to win at home. The only concern that I have is Florida spent a lot of time in the bye week. They were struggling to get plays in between the young guys, too many coaches on the defensive side trying to signal certain things. They corrected that seemingly, is at least what it showed against UCF. Now, part of that is just Malzahn calls boneheaded plays. You run the ball efficiently until you get to goal line, and then all of a sudden you want to be this star-studded passing offense, which KJ couldn't throw a rock and hit an ocean if he was standing there. Anyways, if Florida still has fixed that and things are looking better, then it concerns me if they've watched Arkansas's tape. Can Nico bounce back? Because you look, they could talk. We talked about it with SEC Unfiltered Chris. He struggled against Oklahoma. He struggled against Arkansas. Like, the good teams he's struggling against, Heupel says he calls off the dogs. Well, did you call off the dogs? Or is your offense not as good as they are when they played Chattanooga? Like, I'm not saying it is or it isn't. I think this is a big test because it's a rivalry spot. Florida is down. Arkansas had an up and down kind of preseason rating. They ended up beating you outright. Rivalry spot. Is Florida confident because now they saw you lose? They've historically been in your head rent-free for 20 years, and they seemingly in their mind have corrected issues. Is that a recipe for another Tennessee upset? Who knows? So it's hard to tell. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they cover it by the slimmest of margins, the against the spread, but I think Florida scores more than people may think. And then, Drew, to answer your question, yeah, you can have this discussion with anybody. I think ultimately even a down Florida has a higher ceiling and more money than Ole Miss can ever offer. Ole Miss is, from what I've heard, they've kind of taxed out their NIL, their boosters. Florida is actually not, and that's part of the issue. They're vowed to a UAA, you know, overhaul, potentially pay Lane $130 million. Money talks. Florida's got a lot more money than Ole Miss, so I think it's a serious question.
Toddy.
Oh, you're gonna go to Nick. Me? Go ahead, Nick.
I was just gonna skip me. No, this is.
I wasn't even thinking.
Got to play on this one as well. You'll see. This is so I paired the Tennessee money line up with my last team in Penn State, just because like this is and well, I've had a thread with a bunch of my friends in Tennessee this week. How all of them laid it with like took the points with Florida just because of the history and hey, if Tennessee blows them out, then it's a win-win. But just because of what they're used to over the past 20 years or so, there's never been – Tennessee doesn't win by what it was like 16.5, and now it's down to 14.5. This game's always close or Tennessee, like, loses as they have, what, 18 in the last 20, I believe. So, yeah, that number, when it jumped, everybody's like, okay, this is an automatic Florida play, right? I didn't take it. However, if this number keeps coming down and we get, if this gets, like, at 14 or 13.5, that might be playable here. Just because I do think Tennessee has some answers. Has some answers they need to kind of get locked up, especially before Alabama coming in next weekend. Florida, I think a lot of that last weekend, I think UCF, I don't know, like, I think they just went downhill last week. We saw what Colorado did to them.
They suck.
Florida did the same thing. KJ Jefferson looks like he's kind of quit. I heard it on a different podcast where I can't remember which one it was, but they were talking about how when he used to do like the reads, he would hand it off and then kind of like run out to the right, like you're supposed to, like kind of make it truly a dual threat. And they said against Florida, he literally just would hand the ball up and stand there. So, I mean, I didn't go back and watch it, but I trust that guy who said it. And if that's true, that it kind of explains what happened to UCF in the last couple of weeks. So I think this Tennessee, I think a Dylan Sampson prop, if you're in a state that does props, I think he rushes all over Florida. I don't think they have to rely a ton on Nico like they tried to do last week against Arkansas when Arkansas was able to shut down the run and kind of load the box. So, yeah, I think Tennessee, I think it probably stays close for a half. I do think just because this is Florida, there's talent on that team still, even if they're a little bit down. So I think it stays close. Heupel, I think, is better at half them adjustments than Billy is. So I think that's where they kind of pull away, and this does kind of – that number is pretty close. I think it ends up around a 2-touchdown game.
Yeah, Arkansas ranked 32nd in rush defense. Florida, you could see it right there, 118th. So I think they use Sampson early and often. That'll take the pressure off Nico. Toddy?
Yeah, Florida, you know, 5-1 straight up in ATS run on Tennessee right now, but I think that's going to change. I don't know. I mean, Florida's playing well. I mean, I like their their two quarterback system. They're moving the ball here. Again, Tennessee was just a letdown game last week. I usually really like coming back with these teams, especially a good team. And I think Tennessee's a really good team to come back here. What I put down on my notes, I have not played this yet, but I would eye up the team points for Tennessee and take a chance on that. I have not even seen what it is, but that's something I'm going to probably look at tonight or into tomorrow morning and see if I want to go in that direction. But I think they'll come back. Florida's defense just is not good, in my opinion.
36 and a half.
Looks like 35 and a half.
35.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a lot.
All right.
It is a lot.
I covered it.
Yeah, it is. All right. Ole Miss, LSU, Brian Kelly off a bye. Now he's a 3.5-point home underdog to Ole Miss. This is from Brett McMurphy. In Kelly's coaching career, he is 15-2 straight up, 12-5 ATS while playing at home on extended rest. Also 12-0 at LSU in night games. We know it's hard to go into Baton Rouge, Death Valley, and win a night game. Can Big Game Lane throw aside his 10-19 record against top 25 teams and go into Baton Rouge and win this game? Q?
Brian Kelly goes 13-0. Night games at LSU. I'm not a fan of Brian Kelly. I do think coming off the bye, they've been able to prepare for Ole Miss for two straight weeks, get a little health back in the program. This is a big win for Brian Kelly. If he loses this, I think his seat gets very hot because they came in with the expectations that he's going to get him back to like the Nick Saban, the Les Miles National Championship, Edo, and he's not living up to that seemingly right now. He needs this win. I think Ole Miss needs this win. Especially Lane. Again, big, you know, we joke about it, but it's serious. He loses games that he cannot afford to lose. It hurts that this game's not at home. It really hurts. It hurts even more so that it's a night game because you don't come out of Death Valley at night alive unless you're an all SEC team. And even that's hard. So I think the +3.5 consensus, take it. I think LSU money line's worth a good play.
Yep, I'm also on LSU plus the points. Ken says, give me LSU and the points at home at night. When Brian Kelly needs this game or his seat is going to get very warm. I concur. Yeah. Plus, I think Lane may have 1 foot out the door on his way to Gainesville. Nick?
I'll just say I disagree with that point where Brian Kelly's seat gets hot this early. Like, if you think about it, he's won the SEC West in year one. He had a Heisman-winning quarterback in year two with the number one offense in the country. I think they're still – like, they're still a respectable program. Look, they're ranked 13th. Like, I get they want to win a national championship. Like, there's still a chance he does. They'll give him 2 or 3 more years. I mean, he's got a long contract. The reason they were able to pull him away from Notre Dame in the first place.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think there's plenty of room there for him.
There's disgruntlement, though, in Baton Rouge, for sure.
There always will be.
Yeah, right. I mean, and that's the problem. They're expecting to win.
Unrealistic expectations.
100%.
Absolutely.
But what fan base doesn't have them?
Oh, yeah, Gainesville has it. I mean, we run out a 30.
Penn State, Temple. Well,
yeah, Penn State.
Yeah, to get this game, I mean, yeah, Matt mentioned the numbers. Like, they played 123 night games in Tiger Stadium. They're 108-15 overall. Like, this play, and that was when they were, like, they were bad. They used to be bad, like, in the 80s, 90s during some of those points, and that still counts towards that record. There's a reason this is considered the toughest atmosphere to play in, along with like the whiteout at Penn State at night. It's those two are at the top. So I think Ole Miss, if this is played on a neutral field, I think Ole Miss wins this. I think Ole Miss is a more talented team, especially defensively. That defense is real. I get that schedule has kind of helped in their favor, but the defense I think with Ole Miss is real. Now, obviously, Trey Harris is also – he's questionable. I don't think he plays. I mean, Lane said Monday, if the game was Monday, which I don't know why he said it that way, but they said he wouldn't have played. I still think there's a mix of whether it's like a high ankle sprain or Achilles injury. High ankle sprains usually last like 3 to 4 weeks, so I'd be shocked if he plays in this one. He's the main target for Jackson Dart. I mean, leading the country in receiving. He has 67 targets on the year already, and their next closest is at 32. So I think it's a big kind of – it's a big drop off if he doesn't play, but I just can't touch this one here because kind of as Q, like there's just so much, there's a ton of variation in this game. like between the two coaches, between the two offensive coordinators. I know like Lane kind of calls the plays. So it's like, so yeah, I'm just kind of staying away from this one. I will enjoy it, though. It's going to be fun to watch. It's going to be probably watched on my iPad because I have the Tennessee game on. Obviously, Ohio State, Oregon's at the same time. This game's on at the same time. So it's going to be a fun Saturday night, and I'll just enjoy this either way and just hope it's a good close game.
Yeah, for as big as this weekend is, they really did a crappy job scheduling them.
Oh, yeah.
I want to apologize to the Kent State program and the Temple. That was uncalled for, but I had to
say. They don't have any fans that are listening.
Hey, yeah. We need it. Anybody watching, you never know. There could be some diehard Temple fans watching us, seeing if we're going to break down their game. This is one of my plays. I'm on this too. You know, LSU has won 7 straight home games in this series, so let's keep going with this. They're really doing well against the trend here with against Ole Miss. So I just think coming off a bye, I think they're in the right spot here. And again, if they lose one of their weapons for Ole Miss, that's going to be tough. I agree. I think Ole Miss's defense is better. LSU can give up some points, but you know, I like the home atmosphere. It's a very, like you said, a very extremely tough place to play at night. It's tough to come out of there. So let's go LSU. And hopefully Brian Kelly can get on the mic and do some more accents and stuff. And that would be great.
Temple has.
Yeah, y'all should have talked me into Arkansas last week, because this is fits the same type of narrative. Like, who is Ole Miss beaten? Who had Tennessee beaten? All the numbers say Ole Miss in this, my power ratings plus Parker's numbers. But we're going to fade them again, take the home dog. Ohio State, Oregon, the big one. Teams traveling from the Big Ten, two time zones or more, or 1-8 straight up or against the spread. Shout out Tim Murray for giving me that nugget. I like Oregon here, despite all the trash talk I've said about Dan Lanning and being allergic to cover a spread. Now they're a dog. The first time that they've been a home dog in several years. I think it's like 2017, 2018, which they won that game. So give me the Ducks here, Dan Lanning. I don't know what you've been playing timid for, but I hope that stops here and you take it to Ohio State this weekend. Go Ducks. Q?
I'm not buying the Ducks. I tweeted it last week. I said that they're starting to be fraudulent, in my opinion, and I'll explain. They play with their food too much. They just kind of lollygag up and down the field. They can't score. They can't cover, right? Yes, they can beat up on those little teams and kind of turn it on. But when you play in Ohio State, when you play in Alabama, a Georgia, like that switch diminishes. You can't just turn it on those better athletes, on those better coached teams. We saw Dan Lanning get in his own way against Washington, not once, but twice last year, a good team. You hear those traveling time zone stats. Well, that was UCLA coming over. That was USC coming over. Two teams far more inferior than Ohio State. Ohio State's defense is one of the best in the country. They have a I'm not going to say an elite quarterback, but they have a good quarterback. Chip Kelly, you know, an offensive genius guy. Like, I think this is where Oregon has a mental, you know, hey, look yourself in the mirror. We need to turn on, oh, wait, we can't moment. Because you've done it all season long and you haven't prepared for these big time games. So I think they'll be able to move the ball somewhat against Ohio State. And then when they get in the 20s, it's that bend but don't break for Ohio State. And Dylan Gabriel throws another crossbody interception that he's done for the 15,000th week in a row. And you end up walking yourself into a home loss.
All right. Over under 8.5 times, they make the connection that Chip Kelly used to be the head coach of Oregon. Over. During the broadcast.
Oh, easy.
Might be in the pregame.
How many camera shots do you see of him? Yeah. With that.
Over it's 10.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift.
Hi, Nick. What are you doing here?
I lean Ohio State. I'm probably gonna play it now that it's down to that 3. And I haven't yet because it's still creeping down. The price on it now is -105, which means there could be a book out there that ends up putting it 2.5. So I'm kind of waiting on that. I'd love it at 2.5 for sure. I think Ohio State's just a flat out better team. They've also been able to, we know Chip Kelly and we know kind of their schedule. They've been able to, and I think it's part of the reason they've had slow starts. They haven't wanted to show anything because they haven't needed to. I just think there's way more in the tank that this team hasn't showed. Will Howard, they barely ran him at all yet. I think we see a lot more this weekend. Chip Kelly, I think he's been kind of building it up with some counters and plays off of it. So, yeah, I lean Ohio State here. I mean, best receiving core in the country by far. Like, if people haven't seen Ohio State play yet because they haven't seen, like, just because of the games they've played, wait till you see Jeremiah Smith. And he could play in the NFL. He's 18 years old and could play in the NFL today, and you would never know it. Like, the dude is a freak. He's kind of the next up-and-coming guy. And that kind of – and that pushes, like, Emeka Ibuka to the side, who'd be the number one on basically 99% of any other team in the country as well. So, Will Howard's job's easy. I didn't even mention the running backs after we saw what Ashton Jeanty did to Oregon 3 weeks ago. So, yeah, I think Ohio State, whether it's on the ground, through the air, has the advantage here. I think Q's right. I'm sure Gabriel's probably good for one or two more turnovers as well. So, yeah, I really do like Ohio State in the spot. Like I said, the only reason I haven't played it yet, hasn't gotten a 2.5. I also love I think I'm going to play the first half under 26.5. As we've seen in these big games so far this year, both teams kind of take a half to kind of feel teams out and see what you want to do against each other before making adjustments. Both teams have started slow in first halves of games and against good teams they've played. So that's another possible play here from me.
Yep. I'm also on the under 54.5 in this one. Todd, what are you doing?
Yeah,
in this one?
I kind of lean the under. I like that first half under. Both these teams have come out a little slow. And like Nick said, you know, especially these bigger games, they come out slow. You know, I think it's a game that you sit back and really enjoy. I want to see, I mean, I think Q made good points about Ohio State. You know, I agree with Nick with the wide receivers. But again, you look at Ohio State, who have they really played yet? I don't know. And I mean, not saying, I mean, they put whipping in on these teams, like 52 against Akron, Western Michigan, they throw 56 on. So I'm not trying to, you got to play who's on your schedule, and they're taking care of business. Last week, very slow against Iowa. It was only 7-0 at half, and then they really took care of business in the second half. So, you know, could I see the Ducks hanging this game, maybe pulling upset? Absolutely, I could. I kind of like the lower scoring game and the slower start maybe in the first half than playing either team.
Yeah, and I think both of these teams really have not been tested. Oregon with the better strength of schedule, and, you know, say what you will, they did let Ashton Jeanty run all over him, but who hasn't this season? But they're very talented, the running backs there with Judkins and Henderson at Ohio State. So I think we're in for a really great game. It's a shame that we've got so many good games at the same time. That's the last time I'll bitch about that. All right, and then the get-out game, Kansas State, Colorado. Is this Buffs team for real? Like, I really want to take the points with Colorado, but the fact that I am on, I feel like, every single home dog this week, it worries me. But I mean, Kansas State, what is Kansas State? Have we seen anything that you just are like, oh wow, yeah, they've got the athletes to go into Boulder and beat Colorado? Because I think Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter are better than Avery Johnson and Giddens or whoever else you want to name from Kansas State. Am I crazy here thinking Colorado's the play?
I mean,
as I look at a whole column of Kansas State being better than Colorado,
I mean,
in virtually every aspect.
Yeah, I think you're crazy, but I think you're also spot on what you just said, right? Those guys are better than Avery Johnson and anybody else Kansas State has. Here's the difference. Colorado's defense couldn't stop us four. I think all of us would have over 100 yards receiving and a touchdown against that defense. This isn't UCF. This is Kansas State. I mean, they just obliterated Arizona a couple weeks ago, who, in my opinion, is a better team than Colorado. I think Kansas State's better coached. Their defense has enough. I mean, there's been a little drop-off in comparison to what we normally see from the Wildcats, but their defense is going to be able to keep them in the game. Colorado's defense is going to lose them the game. Kansas State's the play. Kansas State, I think Avery Johnson will finally have a quality game because he's going against a defense that's starting us in the defensive back. So, I mean, that just is what it is. I think Avery Johnson can do enough on offense, even though he hasn't broken out like we all thought maybe he would. he will do enough to beat the Colorado Buffaloes.
In your hypothetical scenario of all of us going up against Colorado's defense, who has to go up against Travis Hunter, though? Because that person's not getting 100 yards. Sorry.
That's Nick or I. We're a little younger.
Nick, what are you doing here?
I'm staying away from the side. I think the only, I don't know, the only playable side, like not now, it's down to 3.5. I liked it when Colorado was like 6.5. But yeah, I don't know what to think. You mentioned Colorado. Do we trust them? Do we trust Kansas State? That is like, besides the Arizona game, they've gone on the road twice. They should have gotten beat by Tulane, who has proven not to be great this year. They went and got blown out by BYU on the road. So two road games, they haven't looked good. So this is another road game at night. That part scares me away. I do agree, though, that I think Avery Johnson will get his on the ground and Giddens as well. So I think the kind of the play here might be the over. And that way you kind of take out who scores. Because I think, like you mentioned, Travis Hunter is going to get his. Shedeur Sanders is going to get his. So because I don't trust this Kansas State defense a whole lot either. So I think the over here might be a play. I thought when this came out, I thought it would be in the 60s, to be honest. So I am kind of surprised here it's so low. So I think that might be the play to look at.
I wrote down what Nick just said. I said Kansas State's been struggling on the road ATS, and they're not very good stopping the pass. And, you know, Sanders, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. You know Hunter's going to get his. You know, Colorado's coming off one of their best performances in a long time against Central Florida. I mean, they ran the ball well. Defense looked okay. So, and Dion is really good. I think he's 7-3 as a dog, ATS as the coach there in Colorado. So, I like playing these games. I thought the same thing. I thought this would be a higher scoring game. So I think the over is the play in this one.
And late 1 night get out game when over.
When it's 1 a.m., who doesn't want to have an over to be playing on, have some money on? Keep you awake.
Absolutely. 94% of the handle is on the over in that one. All right, let's get into our pick'em contest. But first, we've got a quick message from our sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Use Insiders for 15% off your first purchase. I want to tell you guys about our new sponsor, Home Field Apparel. Started in 2018, this vintage collegiate apparel company is home to some of the most creative and premium quality t-shirts and jackets money can buy. With licensing deals with nearly 200 collegiate teams, from the Blue Blood programs to the Purple Aces of Evansville, Home Field has you covered. Use code INSIDERS at checkout to receive 15% off your first order and upgrade your closet today.
Are a burial, a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's, unborn children's, children on these 6 games. Absolutely.
All right. We've got our pick 'em contest. The man of the hour, the man of the week, 3-0 last week, Q. Let's see if you can follow it up with another bounce back weekend.
Yeah. Rutgers, money line. I like them in a good spot at home against Wisconsin. Obviously, Wisconsin's playing a backup quarterback. Van Dyke's out for the season. Shiano, guy just builds a program there in Piscataway, New Jersey. They love him up there. He does well up there. I like the Rutgers to win it at home. Missouri, I think they bounce back right. Texas A&M murdered them, first-degree murder right there in Kyle Field. I think they get right against a UMass team. If they don't, then I think you got to fire Eli Drinkwitz on the spot because you should win this game by 70, not 27.5. Bama, South Carolina over. I think Bama's going to be able to run all over, especially with Jalen Milroe. I do think Carolina will be able to score some on that Bama defense, so I think it gets over there. I think Bama could hang mid-30s to 40, and then you're going to probably get 14-17 from South Carolina. So I think that'll actually hit pretty comfortably.
All right, Nikki.
First thing I want to say, why is Mizzou traveling to UMass? Like, whoever did that scheduling needs – that should be the first person fired.
Yeah.
Like, an SEC team should never be at UMass where there's, like, a stadium capacity of 27,000. I just want to put that in there. I need to bounce back. 0-3 last week, got let down by Tennessee, got let down by Louisville. So here's my bounce back. Like I mentioned earlier, I think Texas ends up pulling away here, even if it's close at the start. mostly because I don't trust the Oklahoma offense. I think Quinn Ewers does kind of struggle a bit in the first half. I can see it. And if he doesn't, then I think it just gets really ugly. And Oklahoma definitely doesn't have the passing game to catch up. Iowa State, West Virginia. I think Smitty mentioned this one earlier where he thought about leaning West Virginia side. Love the Cole unis they're wearing out there. Also love this rush attack they have. I think they'll be able to put up points. Iowa State, I think, is going to put up points as well. This number's too low to me. So I think the over 53 here is the way to go. Another good game to watch. And then my best bet of the weekend, two-team moneyline parlay. Mentioned how I think Penn State wins in a close win against USC. And I think Tennessee, like I said, I didn't play Tennessee on the line like that 14.5 because I don't trust it there. But I do think Tennessee is going to bounce back and win. These programs are kind of going opposite directions right now. So I think Tennessee gets the win here, moved it down to -123, which very playable, like very, very playable here. So yeah, need to bounce back. I think these are the three that do it.
All right, Smitty.
Yeah, let's go. LSU talked earlier about it, you know, at home. I love the atmosphere. I think they're going to be okay. Maybe even sprinkle a little bit on the money line there. They could win the game. USC again scares me. Hopefully they can stop the running game, but I think that's a good spot. And I think Riley really has to get the offense going here. So I like this. Best bet of the week, Air Force, New Mexico State. Air Force was my best bet last week too against Navy. I said Navy was going to put some points on them. So New Mexico, this the over is 9-1 in the last 10 in this series. New Mexico games, I just want to throw this out. It's been combined points, 66, 100, 64, 59, and 90. Air Force has given up in their last three, 34, 31, 31. Let's go. Air Force, do me a favor, score some points. New Mexico, let's go. Get over 54.5.
Smitty, the king of the overs in the service
Service Academy here. Overs.
Yeah, Service Academy. There we go. All right, mine, just like Smitty here, I'm taking LSU night game, Brian Kelly, and I've said Pitt -3.5. That's my best bet. I think Pitt rolls, and then Ohio State, Oregon under 54.5. I think regardless who wins, I feel like Oregon probably covers the points, 27-24 type game, score around 51. So I like it down to under 53.5. Gotta do better. 1-2 last week, not good. Anything else you guys are eyeing as we recap our best bets before we get out of here?
Our plays are being our Discord that I played a couple more. Pretty conservative card for me this week, but check us out. If you're not in the Discord, we'll retweet out the invite link. Join us, it's free.
Got another late night for you. If you need a midnight game, Hawaii team total over 20.5. I am on. They're playing Boise State on the island. Boise State has been giving up points. Hawaii can score. I know it's not your Norman Chin offense like it used to be back in Smitty's days, but they're gonna score. I think they get to 21 here. Boise State's I think they'll do the same thing where they'll get ahead early. And then I think they'll coast like they have been doing. I see Hawaii getting to 21 here. And question, does anybody have a play? What do we think Vandy does against Kentucky this weekend? Is anybody on that game?
I like Vanderbilt. I feel like it's going to be a super square play. A lot of respected money that I've seen picks for. They all like Kentucky here. But I can't lay that kind of – the points with Kentucky, I mean, what – it. Throw out the Alabama game. If Vanderbilt loses that game, let's say 42-14, are they still +14 against Kentucky? Like, did Kentucky just wake up and get a quarterback? Like, I don't see how Kentucky's going to be able to put up a lot of points. Vanderbilt, Diego Pavia, I love that Pavia texted his team that last week was last week. This game upcoming is the game of the year. We've got to make a push. Laugh about it all you want. He said our national championship hopes are still alive. If they can run the table, go 10-2, make it to the playoff. Like, they're in the right mindset here to bounce back. So give me Vandy +14, 14.5. I even like them on the money line. I think Pavia is the real deal. No letdown.
We almost got through the entire show without a mention of Georgia or Bama. That was close.
Yeah. Yeah, one real quick, Matt. I played earlier in the week was Iowa money line. They're at home. Washington coming off the big win against Michigan. Iowa's coming off a really bad performance. I got it earlier in the week at minus 140. I think it's up to, on some sites, minus 150, but I think that's a good money line play.
Yeah, I also bet West Virginia +3.5. That is simply a uniform play, not betting advice. Those charcoal uniforms are sick. I feel like they're going to win that game. But like Q said, all of our plays will be on our Discord. You can click on the Discord link at collegefootballinsiders.com. Check out all the previews that Nick and Parker have done there. You can forecast future predictions, everything else. LSU is -9.5 against Arkansas next weekend in another night game in Fayetteville. So I really like the Hogs in that spot. So does our site. Makes LSU about -3.5. So use that. Try to scope out some future plays and jump on it. For myself, Q, Nick, and Todd, thank you again for tuning in. We'll be back Monday for the Week 7 recap. Enjoy your weekend.